If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a draft special video live stream if you're watching, or a special edition of the Herald Sun Footy podcast if you're listening to this later on. But I'm joined by talent spotters across two states here. Al Payton from the Herald Sun hosting, and we've got Dan Batten in Melbourne and Jordan Pinto over in Adelaide to talk us through what the latest movements are around the draft. The focus today will be on some of the bolters who might be coming into calculations late, and who your club might be able to snare next week. There's only 8 days left until draft night. So we'll get into all that, but we've actually got some breaking news off the top that we can tell you. There's been a trade just in the last 10 minutes or so. In fact, the Giants and the Western Bulldogs have completed a trade. Clubs obviously still allowed to trade draft picks heading into the draft, and then they can do it during the draft itself as well. But the Giants have today traded picks 29 and 52 to the Western Bulldogs for pick 26. So, Dan, if we... Joe, go straight to you. Can you give us a bit of insight into what those clubs are up to with that swap this morning?
Firstly, great to be here. Just eight days out from the draft. Plenty of excitement, plenty of movements that we'll get to in a bit. On the surface, that trade, it looks pretty innocuous, and you wonder why a GWS would trade their pick 52 to then just go up three spots to 26. And you'd also wonder why Bulldogs would do that pick in general. But obviously, they have... Their star-studded NGA prospect up the top, Jamara Ugle-Hagan, who's going to take a lot of points with that bid. So it's probably going to be a bid inside the top three or four selections. That is the thought. And they do get a 20% discount on that. But if a bid does come at three, at pick one, then it's still 2,400 points they have to make up. They also have another father-son selection in Ewan McPherson, who's probably going to be a later pick in the draft. But yeah, that'll be securing points for the Bulldogs, for Jamara Ugle-Hagan, and also GWS, as those who tuned in for the mock draft last week. They have a swathe of picks in the first round and early second round. So I think it won't actually really matter that they've given away pick 52, because they'll probably get four or five quality kids in the draft next week.
Yeah, I did some quick calculations just before we came on air. And that pick 26 is worth 729 draft points. And the other two picks that the Giants have traded are worth 899. So the basic swap is the Bulldogs get an extra 150 points or so, which, as you say, they can use towards matching a bid for Ugle-Hagan. And the Giants get to bump up a couple of spots in the 20s there. So, you know, a bit for both sides there. Jordan, welcoming you in from Adelaide. Can you perhaps give us a bit of an insight into what is happening with... the recruiters at the moment? I mean, the whole year has been obviously very unusual, with especially in Victoria, kids haven't really been able to get out on the park to play. But you know, is this you imagine this would be when the recruiters are really earning their money? So what are they actually up to? Do we have any idea?
Hey, Al and Dan. Yeah, it's been a different year. We've spoken to a number of recruiters throughout the year, and obviously doing things differently this season, given all the restrictions around the country. And I guess the main thing they've said is they're all in a similar boat. We know, and there's been the key guys stuck in Melbourne, but we know the recruiting teams have guys and watchers all over the country. And so I guess the bigger jobs for the SA-based and WA-based recruiters this year, who, pressure is probably the wrong word, but even more, maybe we'll say pressure on what they've been watching and on what they're reporting back. But we know Zoom meetings, we've done a lot through here, but that's what the clubs are doing to meet these guys, maybe to meet their families as well. So it's all a different process, and of course the vision that's gathered by these clubs is next level, and that's what they're basing a lot of their talent watching on, especially the recruiters that can't get to the games. So we know you can see the highlights, you can take a lot away from the vision, but we saw Chris Liberatore, St Kilda recruiter, the other day on the Herald Sun, just talk about the stuff they might not see on the vision. You know, you're not going to see the player when he was a bit lazy, didn't want to chase or didn't want to get to the next contest off the ball, or when he didn't go back with the flight. So it's a little bit hard. Obviously, you can't get the full picture with the vision, but given their teams around the country, and as we've said last week on the show, they've been watching these kids for a number of years now. So add that to the bits of vision and the bits of football they have played this year, and meeting the kids face-to-face on Zoom is probably what they're going on this year.
Yeah, well, we do hear those stories each year about recruiters going around to the kids' homes and meeting their families and those kind of things. I guess that's been a bit challenging as well this year, Dan. But as Jordan said, we've got Zoom, thankfully.
Absolutely. And obviously, this is the medium we're doing this video on now. But yeah, I guess that vision is really crucial for these Victorian kids in particular who have played, obviously have played in 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic, which caused the NAB League to be cancelled. So a lot of it is looking at 2019 vision, which is why there probably are more Bolters in South Australia, or more traditional Bolters rather, in South Australia and Western Australia. Whereas in Victoria, a lot of these guys have lacked exposure. They may have been like a tall developing key forward or key defender who didn't play a great deal of football last year, but has really come on in leaps and bounds, or even someone who's just absolutely destroyed it at the combine, blitzed the combine with really good results, which a lot of the Victorian kids have. So it'll be really interesting to see which way it falls on draft night, especially considering there's probably only going to be about 55 selections. But those Victorian kids who don't get that chance next week will get the opportunity next year as 19-year-olds, as the NAB League, the Victorian and Tasmania competition is becoming an under-19s competition next year. So hopefully those who do miss out will then get another opportunity next year to show their wares.
Yeah, and we saw John Ralph reported today that North Melbourne at least is one club that's going to leave a couple of spots open on their list, because there'll be these supplementary selection periods where they can have players train over the summer, and even potential of multiple mid-season drafts next year. So there's a lot of opportunities for kids who maybe normally would have got picked up in the draft, but they might not this year because, as you say, the challenges that have been associated with this year. But it does make it more interesting and give clubs more chances potentially to take another look at them, and they might get a go early next year. And also that story that Ralphie wrote talked about the Kangaroos. So we've already talked about one trade that's happened today, and there was also speculation that North Melbourne, which has picked two, might look to trade that for maybe a couple of other picks in the first round. And Gold Coast and Essendon were some clubs that were mentioned that might want to try and move all the way up the order. But Ralphie saying that's probably not going to happen. North likely to take that pick two to the draft. So what does that mean, Dan, maybe for the Bombers especially, who we know have three top 10 picks? So would they have been eyeing off one of those real key tools at the very top end, or how does that affect their process going into the draft?
We joked last week on our mock draft that Adrian Dodoro had a call coming through for North Melbourne, and it probably was the case that they were in discussions, but obviously nothing has been able to come from that. But I think North Melbourne are looking at these really talented tools at the top of the draft, like a Jamari Ugo-Hagan, who's obviously, as we mentioned, tied to the Bulldogs, but a guy like Logan McDonald, who leads us into our Bolters, really. He's ultimately been the biggest Bolter in the last 12 months. He did play for WA last season at the national championships, but had modest returns probably as a key forward. But from the moment he stepped in for Perth in the Waffle this year, he absolutely starred. He kicked, I think he was second in the goal kicking all up, with 19 goals for the year, made the Waffle Team of the Year. So this is Waffle Seniors. So obviously a lot of those guys in those competitions play in the 18s, all the reserves. He was playing against senior players week in, week out, probably taking the second or third best defender, and absolutely boosted his stocks. And that's why he's certainly in contention for pick one. And I think he's definitely one that North Melbourne will consider with that pick, considering they have lost Ben Brown. Logan McDonald is a great runner, and yeah, he's certainly someone that they should consider at that pick. And yeah, he's in line also for Adelaide's number one pick as well.
So do we think those calls are all... Oh, sorry, Jordan, you've got a bit of insight from what the Crows are doing?
Oh, no, I just think back to North Melbourne. You can see, as Dan mentioned about McDonald, you can see why they wouldn't give up that pick to take a McDonald or Thielthorpe, depending on what the Crows do, but and it's that scope of development in McDonald, how rapid it's been this year that the clubs do like, and he's probably got another level to go. We know he needs to fill out a little bit more as well. But I guess there's been some debate about whether, you know, McDonald, that improvement in him compared to what Thilthorpe's done. And but I think he's been judged a bit harshly, right, Thilthorpe. We know he played league footy as a marking goalkeeping forward at 17 as well. So his growth at senior level probably came a bit earlier. Haven't obviously seen as much this year given his injury issues, but I still think he's got another level to go to when you're talking about that rise.
And where do you see Thilthorpe playing down the track? So McDonald is more of a traditional key forward, I think, but Thilthorpe could potentially end up in the ruck. Is that right?
That's the question mark here. He's played a lot of footy in the ruck and a lot of footy forward as well, and that's probably the concern at the next level, to get stuck in between. But, you know, like I said last week here in the mock draft, he could turn out to be a goal-kicking Brody Grundy type. He moves a bit like Tom Lynch in the forward line, and the way he covers the ground and takes the footy off the ground, and his ruck work is a bit Brody Grundy-like. And even Tony Bamford, state coach over here, said remind him of how Dean Cox used to move in the ruck as well. So if he can be that combination, it's a massive ceiling for him. But that concern is, maybe does he get stuck in between positions? But I think his ceiling probably outweighs that risk.
So, Dan, talking about the Bombers, if they're not able to trade up the order, does that mean these key tools will all be gone by the time their top 10 picks come around, even though they've got three of them?
Probably likely, yes, which brings a couple more players into the fray, a couple of tools. One who has seriously bolted off the back of his really impressive combine results in speed and his endurance, and that's Nick Cox. So he was sort of, I think, probably around the 25, 30 on a lot of phantom drafts and that sort of thing throughout the year. But he's certainly rocketed into top 10 contention. So as another big-bodied forward midfielder in Archie Perkins, who does have the scope to, or the, I guess, the upside of, a Christian Petrarca, Dustin Martin sort of molds, with his really long kicking, his burst from congestion, and his ability to impact the scoreboard up forward. So, yeah, that archetypal hybrid forward mid type. And he hasn't shown a great deal. I guess he hasn't shown it on a really, really consistent basis, but I think if he did take the field this year, so obviously he was a Victorian prospect from Sandringham Dragons. If he did take the field this year, I think he would have been a lot higher up in draft boards. But it's a funny one with how it's worked with him. He hasn't actually played any footy, and his draft stocks have improved. So, and that's also similar for Nick Cox as well. And unlike some of the prospects that Nick Jordan will get to in South Australia who've actually played, these guys have, you know, it's based a lot on potential and what they could have done and their potential upside.
Yeah, when you start talking about, I was just going to say, when you throw names like Nick Dusty or Nick Petrarca in there, it's understandable why, well, certainly fans will be getting excited anyway.
Yeah, Dan,
sorry, Jordan, you go.
Sorry, just on Perkins, you mentioned and only played six games as well in 2019. Is there any risk there? We know these guys are watching them very closely and have for a number of years, and he's got that power and those game breaking traits. But, you know, is he good enough with the ball in hand? Do you think there's any risk to a club that might jump on him inside the top 10?
It's a good question. I don't think there's a risk if it's later in the top 10. I think if you're ignoring, say, someone like a Will Phillips who has plenty of runs on the board, a David Granger Barras or something like that, I feel that they are probably better suited for those top five picks. After that, and especially with the Bombers, they've got three selections in the top 10. They can afford to take a little bit of a gamble. I don't think it's much of a gamble with Perkins. He's a very balanced personality as well. I think he'll really thrive in an AFL environment. And those game-breaking traits, as we've seen through the NAB League and with his highlights, he's had the six games in the NAB League, but he's also played a bit of school footy as well. And yeah, I guess, you know, it's a little bit of a gamble, but I think it's certainly a risk worth taking, especially for the Bombers if they look to snaffle him with one of their three top 10 picks.
Yeah, Jordan, think... a name. You going any more on the Bombers? Or...
No, that's fine. You go, Gil.
Yeah, no, I was just going to ask about some of these kids coming out of South Australia. So the one name that seems to be popping up a lot is Braden Cook. What can you tell us about him, and who else should we be looking out for on draft night?
Well, he's a definition of bolter. We talk about guys who really rocketed into contention. It's been a big 12 months for him. He's grown 7 centimetres in the past year. He now stands close to 190 centimetres. And we talk about Perkins being a game breaker. This kid really is that as well. We've got genuine X factor. He's got an exceptional vertical leap and some serious speed, which you know he highlighted further in the SA Combine in September. So he's got those traits, but he's also put it together consistently, and he's been a match winner consistently over here in the sample. So he's been the one that has really benefited from footy being back on here in SA, and lucky enough to put that on show. And you know, he kicked 26 goals in 13 under-18 games this year. Booted 5 goals, 5 in a come-from-behind performance against the Eagles mid-year, finished with 198 ranking points. So he's a terrific four, but he also gets up and down the ground, can drop back behind the ball, he's got nice hands and takes intercepts as well. So, you know, do the Crows jump maybe at their first pick, which could push you out to the mid-teens because his rapid rise, you know, it probably means he's not going to be there but by the time their picks in the 20s roll around. So, you know, Braden Cook from sort of almost nowhere 12 months ago to inside the top 20, I think.
And who else should be?
Just a quick question on Cook. He didn't test probably as well as a lot of people were thinking he would. Would you say it's fair to say that his testing didn't reflect his really standout athletic traits on the field?
Probably. Still, you know, showcase his speed and his leap a little bit, but it's just that acceleration as well and the way he bursts when he has the ball in hand that really was eye-catching. So it's probably fair to say that. And as we know, with all these kids you know, getting into the professional system and getting into an AFL system can work on that side of their game as well. But, you know, you watch Braden Cook with the ball in hand at sample level here, definitely hard to ignore that. But in terms of a couple of other guys, we know Caleb Poulter, we spoke about on the show last week. His rise may not be as steep, and most fans and most draft watchers out there know who Caleb Poulter is, but you know, he's another one that's only enhanced his draft standing as longer the year went on. He was more dominant as the year went on across all levels. Under 18s, played a bit of reserves footy for the Eagles, and the All Schools Cup final for Henley High against PAC, he was very good. And then the SA All-Stars game, which pitted the best young talent here in South Australia at Debbie Oval at the end of the year, he was almost close to best on ground in that game too. So under 16 level, was sort of a pure outside midfielder, but over the past couple of years, he's got a really round nature to his game now. And, you know, he blends that damaging left foot and his attacking traits away from the contest with some clean hands and his ability to weave in and out of traffic very well. So, you know, he's probably almost one of the draft pool's well-rounded prospects now. And, you know, he's sort of climbing into that first-round bracket in that later half as well for clubs looking for that really modern day 192 centimetre midfielder.
Now, a name we've got on our list here, which I hope his name gets called out because it is a great name apart from anything else. Were we pronouncing this right? Malachi Carruthers?
Yeah, Malachi Carruthers. You know, another guy who's benefited big time from the footy this year. He plays at St. Peter's and mid-year he had to go back and play college football given the commitments there. But, you know, he was a star under 18 level in the 4 games before he went to college. And then he was probably even better when he came back for the Double Blues. You know, he was named Sturt's best in 3 of his first 4 games back, and he's got poise, he's got class, and his ball use. He not only reads the game better than a lot of people in the competition over here, but he opens it up with his decision making. So he had 34 disposals, 15 marks, 11 intercepts, 10 score involvements, 169 Supercoach points. Al, I'm sure you'll like those numbers in round 14 this year. So, you know, he's that intercepting sort of mid-sized defender who can really set up play from the back half. And, you know, he's sort of, again, from a skinny sort of guy maybe stuck in between positions last year, sort of come with a rocket too. And, you know, he could go definitely find probably an AFL home on December 9.
And one more quickly from South Australia that we've got here, Jacob Ware, is it, who seems to have really come from the clouds. Will he get drafted, do you reckon?
Well, it's a good story, Jacob Ware. And, you know, last year he was playing in the Eagles reserve side and he was almost just holding his place. He spent 3 years in the seconds at Wood West Torrens and He was close to being dropped at one point in 2019. Fast forward 12 months, and you know he's on the cusp of being drafted. So he's a sweet mover, got an elite left foot kick, and you know there's two eye-catching traits. And what recruiters really would have liked is his consistency and his performance on the big stage in the sample final series. He's one of the Eagles' better players on their run to that successful grand final. So, you know, he's a line breaker, makes great decisions, and importantly executes them. You know, he's hitting the long target as often as he is hitting up the short one. So a lot of nice traits about Jacob Weir, and it looks, you know, at this point he could sneak onto a list, I think, next week.
Now, Dan, you mentioned that back in Victoria it's been a bit harder for the kids who haven't been able to get out and play, but there has been some testing which has given them a chance. So you've got guys like Harry Sharp broke the 2K time trial record with a time of 5 minutes 28, which is pretty sharp, I guess you could say.
Pardon the pun. It is absolutely nuts, that time. And apparently in practicing, he's actually almost eclipsed a 5:20. Obviously a former steeplechase champion. And he broke his former teammate, Jay Rantall, who's on Collingwood's list, his record by 22 seconds. He broke that last year himself. So, but obviously, you know, he's a tremendous athlete and a fantastic runner, but he's a footballer who can run rather than the other way around. And he has a really nice kick and has really good decision-making skills. And he sort of mixed his time in athletics with footy with the Rebels over the past 3 or 4 seasons. And he's really he's another one who's really blown clubs away by his professionalism. And I guess that sort of comes from his elite background in athletics and, you know, being really determined and you know, really achieving good things in that sport as well. So he's another one who could, I guess clubs were already well aware of his athletic traits and his really strong running ability. But he's another one who just, you know, put it on display at the combine. And also, I guess another one who's, I guess, similar to Weir in a sense, who's sort of come from nowhere really, is Liam Collar, who is a utility from the Northern Knights, 195 centimetres. And, you know, 18 months ago, he wasn't even on Northern Knights list. He was playing 2 school football in Melbourne's northeastern suburbs. And so he played 3 games for the Knights to finish the season, showed some positive signs, and really grabbed the attention of recruiters at in their 2 preseason games to start 2020. And obviously the season was cut short from there, but he absolutely starred at the combine and put his name up in lights with a 2.87 second 20-meter sprint and a 6:02 2-kilometer time trial, which is, you know, quite frankly, just ridiculous for a player who's 195 centimeters. And it means he can really play anywhere. So he can play on the wing as a key forward or as a defender, and can obviously run all day, and has really, really extreme pace. So he's one who could even be taken as early as the second round. Yeah, probably a lot more likely to be a later selection. But yeah, he's one who really excites clubs, and you know, it is one who has enormous scope for growth, considering, you know, where he's come from and how new he is to the game.
Another name, Seamus Mitchell, seems to be getting a lot of attention. Has been interviewed by all 18 clubs, we're told. Mm.
Yeah, he's one who has a bit more exposed form. So he's, I guess, another late. He was really late to the Bendigo Pioneers program last season. Played in 6 games, in the back half of the year, and kicked 6 goals. And a lot of those were really with his really explosive run out the back. You know, it might be a marking contest, and he just blitzed past his opponent, gather it on the run, and kick really nice goals. So that's what he brings. So he brings that electrifying speed, agility, and versatility. I think clubs see him as a player who can play half forward, you know, potentially half back, and even through the midfield as well. And he also he showed off his pace at the combine with a 2.88 20-meter sprint and a 91 centimeter running vertical jump. So he certainly got some power there as well. And has been likened to Zach Williams by Pioneers coach Damien Truslove, who I used to work with the Giants as a development coach. So he certainly knows Zach Williams well. And yeah, he's another one, I guess, who probably going to go in the back end of the draft, you'd say, but because he's spoken to every club, there's certainly plenty of excitement surrounding him.
And Jordan, we mentioned Logan McDonald over in WA, another West Australian kid, Isaiah Winder. I guess they've been able to play pretty much all season, have they, in Perth?
They have. And, you know, he's one that you don't have to see a lot of to get a glimpse of what he can do. Is, you know, if he was almost probably the best performed prospect at the combine once you collate all the data together. You know, 20-meter sprint, he tested strongly for the vertical jump and agility. He's just, you know, freakishly quick and skillful, small forward midfielder. You know, played a lot of midfield for Peel Thunder in the Waffle Colts. But, you know, he's probably a small forward, especially early in his AFL career as well. So, you know, great highlight reel. And, you know, he's been able to pull off some really big moments and some eye-catching displays, which, again, as you mentioned, given the over in WA they are playing footy this season, he's been able to sort of rise his name up a bit. And he definitely feels a lot of clubs' needs with what he can bring. So definitely one to watch out for next week.
And I'm not sure who can fill me in anymore on a name that might be a little bit familiar, Blake Coleman, the brother of Keaton Coleman, who we saw a little bit of at the end of the year for the Brisbane Lions, looked pretty exciting. So Blake's also in the Lions Academy, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And he does show those similar explosive traits with his speed and really, I guess, silky skills and his ability to get around opponents and shake and bake. He had some really strong form in the Queensland competition, local competition. Obviously, the NEFL was disbanded this season, so he was unable to get a run in that, but really did well against senior bodies in the Queensland AFL, which obviously is a lower standard, but, you know, you've still got to get the runs on the board. And he kicked a couple of goals in their grand final win, and Morningside's premiership win, and he took a really spectacular mark. So this is the sort of traits he's capable of, and he's certainly one who could attract a bid around the first or second round. Also, he kicked a couple of goals on the big stage on grand final day last year in the under-17s futures match. So, yeah, just a player with really innate goal sense and good speed who's just seriously dangerous inside 50 and, yeah, could attract a bid around that first or second round. As I mentioned, another player who I wanted to get to from Victoria who it was essentially unknown at the start of the year, got told to, I guess, really pull his finger out over the off-season is Max Heath from the Sandringham Dragons. He's a tall ruckman slash forward, 203 centimetres, 94 kilos. Wasn't really on the map at all until the preseason where he worked his butt off, came back in the two practice games and absolutely starred and really came from obscurity to becoming one of the most highly touted ruckman in the draft pool. He's probably in, along with Henry Walsh, Shannon Neal from WA as well, as being one of the most highly touted ruckmen, but he's still got a lot of unknown about him. He's actually going into year 12 next year. So, you know, there's certainly some significant improvement left in Max Heath, and he's a project ruckman that could be considered towards the back end of the draft.
And Dan, I think that's, you know, an important point. You spoke about at the top of the show how, and now mentioned the clubs are going to leave these spots open for next year, the pre-season, then, you know, even in the mid-season. So we're going to see less kids drafted, maybe even less than 50 potentially next week in the national draft. So we could be talking about these guys, you know, next year for the supplementary periods, and some of these guys, even given the expansion of the NAB League, to fit in the older players at the end of next year. So some of these guys who, because of the lower numbers we expect next Wednesday night, could still be in the mix. Doesn't mean, given a strange year we've had, you know, they could be in the mix and we could be talking about them for the next 12 months as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, I mean, in the under-19s comp that it's going to be in the NAB League, you're going to see these 19-year-old guys. Some of them have got an extra pre-season of development in them, yep. You know, a big-bodied midfielder who, you know, racks up 35 possessions per week for the first three rounds of the NAB League next year. A player, a team that has an injury to a key midfielder might go, hey, we need someone who we can get some, you know, some immediate form out of, who can potentially slot in. And obviously, we saw what Marlon Pickett did after being drafted in the mid-season draft. It's going to be a similar story for these kids. Obviously, it may be less mature age options and more younger options, but it's certainly an avenue that's open to clubs. Another one who could potentially go around the first or second round, as was reported by News Corp journalist Matt Barmer over the past couple of days, is Matt Allison from the Calder Cannons and Vic Metro. So some big things were expected from Allison this year, just with another year of development under him. He showed some good signs in the preseason practice games, and after some modest returns, really, for the Cannons over 10 games last season. But yeah, he just demonstrated his really strong endurance at the combine with a 6:17 time, which is seventh overall nationally, and also a 2.975 20 meter sprint. So he's a key forward, 194 centimeters, who can run and work up and back, and ultimately that's what you need. You know, in this day and age, you can't just have a key forward who can take a mark and not do much else. But the real dearth of key forwards outside that really top bunch, which is, I guess you'd say, Logan McDonald, Jamara Ugle-Hagan and Riley Thilthorpe, could see a team pounce on him a bit earlier, considering there isn't that you know, really, really top tall outside, say, the 15 mark.
Yeah, and then just another guy who from over here in SA who probably fits in a little bit with what Dan's been talking about, a little exposed form, Luke Pedler from Glenelg. He's Prince Alfred College school footy captain as well. Missed a lot of footy through injury this year, but he's still getting plenty of interest. Standout opening month in the under-18s, had a brief stint back at PAC, but missed most of the season. And I go back to this quote from that Tony Bamford gave us the other day. He said he makes his teammates play harder and feel safer. He's an animal who wins the ball through grunt, toughness and a feel for physicality. So very strong words from him, and that's what clubs like. That's what he's been telling clubs about him. But, you know, I've also watched plenty of him, and you know, he also spreads well. He breaks lines most often after he's broken a tackle. He's not you know, the quickest bloke out there, but the way he explodes away from a contest or a pass an oncoming tackler, then, you know, takes a 25, 30 metres and then kicks long with his left foot. So he's not your classic 100-metre player, but it definitely gains a lot of metres. And, you know, he's pretty effective forward of centre too, booted 6 goals in his 4 under-18 appearances. So Luke Pedler is a 182-centimetre midfielder forward with plenty of, you know, Rory Sloan, Joel Selwood-type traits in the way he goes about it in the midfield, in and under especially.
Yeah, some great names there. We'll be obviously watching all those very closely. It'd be really fascinating. I don't know if we'd ever get to do this, but to see the clubs, their draft lists, because I reckon this year they'd probably be more different than any other year, given the unique circumstances and the individual research that they have to do on them, and to know where, you know, different clubs have each of these kids rated. So we'll be on top of this in the next 8 days as we count down to the draft. Dan, I thought I might just end on a name that you just mentioned very briefly there, which I thought was interesting. This year we are going to have a number of potentially names that people might recognise, with some father sons and also brothers of players who are also already playing in the AFL. So we've mentioned today Blake Coleman plays a bit like his brother. We've got Oliver Henry, Jack Henry's brother, Finlay McRae, looks like a young Jack McRae. He might go in the first round. And we've also got Henry Walsh, who's the brother of Sam Walsh, but a bit of a different story there, coming in at 201 centimetres. Where does he rank in the draft order, do you think?
Yeah, it's really difficult to say, especially as we mentioned, there's only 55 picks, and it you wonder whether teams are going to look for ready-made ruckman potentially in those waiver periods later on, or whether they're going to persist with a project ruckman like Henry Walsh for, you know, who may take a few years to develop, and often when the club that does the developing they end up getting that player pinched from them. So I guess Henry Walsh, he's a 201-centimetre ruckman, you know, completely different player to Sam. He does have that sort of poise and good skills for a player his size, but most of all, he's just really competitive. And he played, you know, about 10 games last year for the Falcons and really impressed as a bottom major, which is obviously extremely difficult, you know, as a bottom major ruckman up against players who are a year your senior, especially when you're still developing. It's really tricky business, but he certainly held his own and was one who was really going to dominate, I think, in the NAB League, and probably would have been the number one ruckman for Vic Country and would have had some strong form at the national championships if they went ahead. So he's probably my number one ruckman in the pool, besides Riley Thilthorpe, who's probably more of a forward ruck option. But it'll be interesting to see if anyone does take the punt, considering the reduction to list sizes that we've seen over the past month or so.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one of the factors that the clubs and recruiters have to take into account coming into the draft. Thank you, gentlemen. That's been fantastic, and we'll be back. I reckon we'll do another one of these next Tuesday, just on the eve of the draft, and any late mail, last minute moves and tips and what we think might play out. So it's been a pleasure. Any late thoughts that we need to mention?
No, I don't think so. I think we've – you go, Jordan.
No, I'll probably say soon. I think it's, all pretty summed it up pretty well. But we know clubs still keeping the cards close to their chest because, you know, in the day and age of trading picks and pick swaps, we still expect plenty to happen over the next week. You know, there's a pause, but then again on draft night. So, you know, the order as it stands now could definitely change. So I think when we get closer to it next week, we'll be able to talk about maybe more about placing these players and where we think they might actually end up. So exciting sort of 7 or 8 days ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be all over it on all the News Corp sites, Herald Sun and the Advertiser, and whatever state you're in. So stay tuned and keep an eye out for more of these videos and podcasts. Thanks, gents, and we'll catch you all soon.
See you guys.
Thank you very much.